Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Stephen Lucan and Tony Payne. Hey, guys, good to see you today.
Great to be with you.
Good to see you, Mr. Lucan.
Thank you.
You're in the 614 for a while?
Yes. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And on your special day, dare
I say,
happy birthday.
Thank you, 5.5.
Yeah. 29?
Right.
How are you, sir?
29, give or take. I'm doing well. It's another wonderful day. It's not my birthday, but it's another good day. I'm excited.
Yeah, good.
All right, we're going to get into some good topics for people. This is a good day for a conversation about retirement spending. So you've worked, you've saved, now what? So spending smart in retirement is what we're going to go through today with a couple of experts. What I want to do is kind of go through some points that I pulled up myself, some questions, just as a layperson, and pick your brain.
Cool.
So the emotional shift is something that, and I'm getting close to that point myself. So, and I think about this, every time I spend something that really I don't need, or spend money on something I don't really need, I think about what you guys talk about all the time with clients and with our own people, the emotional aspect of spending, the behavioral part of finance. So I want to talk about the shift from saving to spending, and get your feel on how you approach that as you're getting close.
Okay. Go ahead, Tony.
Set the stage a little bit. You've been living, working. I mean, we've seen it with people that have worked since they were 16 almost, so they've never known that not working phase of life. So always saving, adding to accounts. So just starting there, I mean, it's a big shift mentally with what you do with your time, what you do with a lot of things, let alone where do I get my money from?
Yeah. And it is a big emotion. This is your last paycheck. Right. That's a big emotional step, and you almost have to.
That's
a lot
terrifying
of,
to think about.
It is for a lot of people, and to Tony's point, I literally had someone say to me a few years ago, "I've been getting a paycheck since I was 16 years old," and I had to convince him to go into retirement.
Yeah,
right, and switch to be your have your portfolio be your payroll basically, and that's what you got to set up for.
The discipline that it requires, because you always talk about people spending more in retirement than they do in their working years. How profoundly separated is that number? I mean, is it seriously drastic?
Go ahead. I've got a thought there.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we have the same thought.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say it depends usually on how much you were saving while you were working, because if you were one of those super savers almost, your spending may quadruple. It might double because now you're finally out enjoying doing things, hopefully, not living on less. But I wasn't sure what thought you might have had.
No, I'm going to piggyback on that. That's exactly it. So your first phase of retirement, we use the word retirement, financial independence, but you stopped working. While you're working, your travel was limited to either time or money. Now, hopefully, you have the money because you've saved, and now you have the time because you're not working. It's dangerous.
And you're bored.
And you're bored. And now, all of a sudden, Australia looks appealing. Mm-hmm. New Zealand looks appealing, or the Galapagos Islands, or these exotic locations that you've never even thought about going to. Maybe that appeals to you, and now all of a sudden, was that in your budget or in your goals to say, I want to travel once I retire? So you expand your spending those first few years.
And we're talking about, hopefully, and you've said it too, that phase of if you've saved enough, you're usually going to spend more.
Yeah.
But on the other side, if you haven't saved enough and you're used to getting that quarterly bonus or that payout at the end of every year, wiping out the credit card debt, then going back into the same cycle year after year, well, when that bonus stops or that overtime stops and all that extra maybe stock options coming in stops, well, now you're just stuck with what did you save out of that? What did you have? So if you weren't doing the right things or saving enough, you're actually living on a lot less sometimes.
So where does it start? Do you kind of you take stock of your retirement accounts if you have those, and how do you know where to pull the
starts,
money from?
Well, it starts before you retire. That's a discipline of having a understanding your spending, your limits, your goals, what you want to do, and whether or not you're going to adjust those goals once you retire. Right? You have your pre-retirement goals, you have your post-retirement goals, and the post-retirement goals are usually different than pre-retirement. You're older, you have more time, and now you may want to do things. So that's why you have to think about where am I going to be spending my money and what do I want to do with it? Am I going to be golfing every day? Am I going to be doing weekend trips or long trips or, like I said, going to Australia? So you really have to prepare yourself for what you want to do and then build that into your plan as far as what kind of cash or spending you need.
When adding on to that as well, because that's perfect. I mean, you think about your goals, your plan, if it's retiring in a, I'll say an earlier age, maybe at 50 or something like that, or 55, how you save and where you save is going to be a lot different than somebody who may enjoy working in their 70s, something like that, because where you draw your money from is going to be treated different from taxes, perhaps. Maybe there's also other implications as to how quick can I get it. So if you know you're going to be retiring early, that's a different saving strategy and usually a different withdrawal strategy.
And we do have quite a few podcasts available if you want to kind of brush up on the taxation aspect of this. But if I can understand really sort of the dance, the choreography, how do you know where to pull your money from first? If you've got a 401k or you've got a Roth, you've got different kinds of accounts that you're looking at, what should somebody do to sort of take stock and when should they start doing it?
The first thing is taxation, as Tony said, is understand what your tax impact will be based on the distribution. So understanding the tax code, what tax rate you're going to be in, because the worst thing you could do is take something from a tax disadvantage situation where you're paying 24%, 32%, 35% on some of that money. So understanding and planning and coordinating your taxes is very important to provide that income.
And maybe even worse yet, paying penalties on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Depending upon where you saved and when you needed it or why, there might even be penalties on top of those higher taxes.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's why it's a...
That seems like a quagmire to me.
Right, but that's why the word planning is so critical in this whole process, is
so
you plan
you start
for
that,
it.
Though?
You start from whenever, day one, right? First day.
When you're 30, you start...
You start, and that's why you're... But that's part of the continuous reviewing. And that, again, this is what the Managing to Be Wealthy process is about, is you're planning for when you're going to be spending your money or when you're going to retire. If you come into a windfall, things are going to change, but it's fluid. Mm-hmm. But you've got to understand, okay, where will my money come from? Will it be a paycheck or will it be my portfolio savings?
And to paint that picture a little more, take that 30-year-old we're talking about, you're considering, well, when am I going to retire? There's that balance of, well, if I retire early, I need to have money in maybe a brokerage account or just this bank account even, money you can access with no real barriers. But if you're going to grow your money the best way, I'll say, you usually want to have that in an IRA or a tax-deferred account, which comes with strings that normally you can't touch it until you're 59 and a half. So there's that trade-off sometimes of, okay, when I start at the very beginning, like Stephen said, okay, when I make those decisions where I'm saving, that's going to play in and where you're going to withdraw from later on.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking different stages in life, 30, you might be starting to, you know, start a family. You might want to buy a house. You might want to travel. You're sort of establishing the cost of your lifestyle, which changes every decade, right? Depending on what life you end up living. How do you, and do you maybe take for the 10 years before retirement to sort of assess what you're going to need to live on, or
it never ends.
Literally,
you
do that at 30.
You analyze it every year. You have to understand where your money goes. And one of the worst scenarios I hear about when I talk to somebody who's, we're almost ready to retire, we'll call you when we're retired. I cringe at that, because how do you know if you're ready? Right. So you don't know what your goals are. Your spending is the critical piece to it, because your spending will determine how much you need to have in your portfolio to last a lifetime for however long that is. Right. We don't know our end game, but you have to plan in for long term care and end of life situations. But you have to know what your spending is.
So the timing matters.
Definitely. The earlier, the better. Again, what Stephen said there, I mean, if you think about compound interest, growth over time, the ability to plan ahead, knowing right now what I'm spending, yes, it'll grow with inflation, life will change, but typically lifestyle is not going to go down. That's probably the minimum I should shoot for.
Yeah. Your income drives your lifestyle.
Okay.
Right? The people with a higher income, they generally spend more. They drive more fancier cars or bigger house, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So your income drives your lifestyle, and you have to understand – again, I chuckle when, because now I've been flying a lot and I get upgrade to first class. It gets nice, ooh, right? It's nice. And now it's like, now I got to sit back and coach, right? Right. So you can say, mm-hmm, oh, I could always go back and coach. And no, it's not that easy, right? So it's hard, right? And that's part of the process.
We call that lifestyle creep, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, the idea of once you get a little comfortable, which it happens to all of
normal.
Us. I mean,
it's
part
behavior.
Of growth.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've done this for a certain amount of time. There's certain things here. Maybe it's living in a different neighborhood even. Mm-hmm. You know, the size of the house, where you can send the kids to school. I mean, these are all different little things sometimes as to, you know, is it the school baseball team? Is it the travel baseball team? I mean, these are all little things that when they add up and you look back, where did those thousands of dollars go that could have been for my retirement later? These are the things we're talking about, what you let in with, mm-hmm, the idea of when you're spending, be mindful of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of if I'm saving and I have a plan, then you're spending your money and feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, talking about milestones, can we get into the required minimum distribution? Let's explain what that is and when it takes hold.
All right. Well, it varies right now. It depends upon your age, if you've already been taking distributions, you know, if you're going to take them in the future. So I'm going to defer to that one to say, check with your expert. And I would say, put in your age into Google or one of your resources. You'll find out real quick whether it's 70, 75, 77. I mean, there's a range there. But again, that's the idea of it depends on your birthday.
It is based on your birthday. And it's changed, as Tony said, a few years ago, it was 70 and a half. Then it became 72, then 73. It's moving to 75, but it's all based on the year you were born.
So when you're trying to determine how much you need to spend in retirement and you've got an RMD to consider and you've got Social Security to consider, what takes priority and how do you navigate how much to take for a distribution?
At least the minimum. I mean, they've waived some of the penalties, lowered the penalties, but you still don't want to be in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're at least satisfying the RMD. And typically at that point in life, I'm going to say you've probably already turned on Social Security. So again, like many things, you wouldn't want to turn it off or deny it, take the money. There might be some taxes with that. But between the two of those, that might start the floor of where you're taking money from, because those two, you don't really have options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
And with the sometimes scenarios are your required minimum distribution, you don't need the money. So do you have to spend it? No, you don't have to spend it. You could give some of it to charity, tax deductible. So your RMD could be a tax deductible situation with a qualified charitable distribution. And then the other side of it, you can reinvest it. You can reinvest that money. You don't have to spend it. But I literally have had to have that conversation with people. It's like, no, you don't have to spend it. We can do other things with it.
That always confuses me, because you're sitting there thinking, am I going to pay taxes on this twice?
Yeah. No, you're not going to pay taxes on that twice. But the growth of, if you got an extra $10, you invest that $10, mm-hmm, and that grows, you're only going to pay taxes on the growth.
Okay.
But in a different format than it was. But yeah, so you don't have to spend it. There's other things you can do with it. Well, most people want to spend it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it, but may want to pass it on to the next generation too.
Good suggestion.
Right? Yeah, if you already have business income, maybe rental property income, some other sources, and now I'm at that age where all the money I've been squirreling away, I have to do something with it. Like Stephen said, you know what? You've got options, which is a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Social Security, this is a huge debate in almost all of my social circles at my age right now. When do you turn it on?
The biggest factor in all of it is how long you live. That's the biggest factor in when do you take it. And I've had situations where somebody took it at age 62. They died at age 68. It was the right financial decision versus waiting till 67. They would have only received 1 year of benefit, or 66, right? So it is all about, but usually the break-even point, if you take it at 62, is living into your late 70s, where if you live past like 78 or 79, the smart thing to do would have been to wait, because you would have received more money versus taking it early, right? So again, the biggest factor in all of it is your life expectancy. Or how long you live.
Which you don't know.
We don't. None of us
know. It's a Russian roulette game.
Yes.
A little. Yeah, definitely. The other side too, let's say you were that financially secure person where, just like your RMD, whether you reinvested or what, we could think of Social Security like that too. So the idea of, you know what, if I hate to say don't need it, but if you were saving all along the way and you didn't count on it, well, maybe there's a benefit to saying, well, if I turn it on at 62, that's my fun money. And we've seen that. And that's, I'll say, a newer philosophy. We, Stephen and I, have had it beaten into us. You know, wait till 70, get almost an 8% growth rate on your benefit. But the interesting part is when people turn Social Security on, they're a bit more willing to spend the money. You know, you see it in an account, it's like an annuity stream. But when you call up and say, hey, take money out of my IRA, it feels a little different, especially when markets are down. Mm-hmm. So it's a neat philosophy sometimes to consider, maybe if I don't have to think about enough or more, well, then maybe I do turn it on earlier and that's my fun money.
Mm-hmm. And then the other aspect is I tell people you can't pass your Social Security on to your next generation. You can, your spouse can get a benefit if you die, but if you're using that Social Security money for your spending, not taking it from your IRA, your children could receive the IRA money. They can't receive the Social Security money. Mm-hmm. So it could be a generational wealth transfer tool as well, mm-hmm. using Social Security versus your IRA.
Are there a lot of, when I think of retirement, I think of that you stop investing your money. I mean, I'm assuming many of us do that are not in your profession. Does it make sense to continue investing while you're in retirement?
Always.
You're always investing,
doesn't matter how old you are.
At full throttle.
Not at full throttle, but you have to fight inflation.
Okay.
We finally learned how dangerous inflation is. We talked for 20 years, inflation is bad, inflation, yeah. Since 2020, we've learned how dangerous inflation is because your money loses purchasing power. So regardless if you're 85 years old, 75 years old, 95 years old, you have to fight inflation. So you always have your money working for you. Now, is it 100% in the stock market? The answer is probably not, but it has to be fighting inflation for you.
Would that be considered managing risk overarchingly? A part of managing the risk.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so if the market drops and you're sitting here trying to do you have to reestablish your lifestyle, or does it matter what kind of investments you have intact if the market drops and you're in retirement?
That's why
it's a whole other show.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, the idea though of if you're doing it right, you're not skipping a beat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sometimes harder. And that's why that Social Security piece of if it's behaviorally a little easier to spend the money. I mean, we've been there during the down market cycles, real down market cycles, where you're not willing maybe to put that cruise on or go to that thing that you've always planned on. And the idea of, well, if you've done it right and you've saved enough, you're not relying on what the market did that one year. You know what? You're invested longer term. So if I have a good strategy with where I'm withdrawing my money and maybe I had some of it already available, well, then go on that cruise, enjoy life, maybe get something on a discount because you planned ahead.
I think you become a statement watcher when you get in retirement.
There's a fear aspect. Yeah. And that's why you still want a cash reserve. You still want secure investments, whether it's a CD or a bond, whatever it might be, just into high yield savings account. Those are all important tools. They're fighting inflation. Mm-hmm. So, but they're a little bit more secure than a stock investment.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, just adding on to the investing piece in retirement, because depending upon how you're invested or set up, you might have dividends that are getting reinvested as well. So depending upon how big your portfolio is or how you've invested it, that also might be reinvesting along the way. So consider that too.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about comprehensive, shameless plug here, sorry, but we talk a lot about comprehensive, holistic, fee-only financial planning every day in our business. And that there are lots of legs to that, not just the rate of return. There are a lot of people that are just focused. I've learned this from you and I was that person too, that you're focused on what the stock market is doing with your investment accounts. But if you don't have some of the other important pieces in place, it doesn't matter how much you have saved, you're going to tap into that bag of money to sustain your lifestyle if something happens. Yeah. West wing of your house burns to the ground or something.
Right.
So what can people do in retirement to evaluate those other aspects of the retirement plan?
As far as like just spending, like other categories?
Right.
Again, plan for it. The house is always a big one, and we need a new roof. The sidewalk might need to be redone. Hot water heater, HVAC, whatever it might be. Those are big ones. A car, right? And I said vacations, travel, weddings. Those are all important pieces. So you just got to think about it. Think about what are we not thinking about, mm-hmm. right? And think about the unexpected. Those usually because you haven't thought about it. And I always hear, well, that's a one-time expense. Every year there's a one-time expense. So you got it. That's why you track it. That's why you
How
track it.
How important is estate planning in this part of the plan?
It really, I mean, when you think about it, you know, if you don't, I always kind of joke, if you don't like those heirs or you don't like the people in your family, don't worry about it. Leave a mess. It's fine. It's easy. You don't have to do anything. Now, if you care and you don't want to leave a mess, or maybe you want to leave things private, or you don't want a lot of attorney fees along the way, it's really important. I mean, the idea of who owns things, how are they owned, what beneficiaries are out there, all of those will play into, okay, what do the taxes look like either for the next generation? What are their options? You know, Stephen, you hit on a great one there. If I turned on Social Security and I spent that money, but I left money in another account, in a way, that's kind of estate planning. The idea of, okay, what'll be left? Well, did you organize that IRA? How was that beneficiary set up? Do they know what to do with it after you're gone? I mean, these are the kinds of questions, too, that when you answer them, you plan ahead, you're going to feel a lot better out on the golf course at 72, not worrying about, you know, what happens if I fall over right now? Mm-hmm. Make the putt.
Yeah. That's a great stopping point. Thanks very much, guys. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll share with your friends and come back again.
Media. Think big.